Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the Pfizer Second Quarter Results Analyst Conference Call. We have with us today Mr. H.S. Tobakkowala, Managing Director, and Mr. S. Sridhar, Finance Director. As a reminder, for the duration of the conference, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. H.S. Tobakkowala. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and a very good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q2 2014-15 results call for Pfizer Limited. And as you are all familiar by now with our practice, we shall also discuss the Q2 2014-15 results of Wyeth Limited. All of you will have read by now that the Honorable Mumbai High Court has approved the scheme of amalgamation between Wyeth Limited and Pfizer Limited on October 31st of this year. We are in the process of closing out the formalities with SEBI, the Registrar of Companies, and other associated bodies. And then subject to all approvals, we hope to run as a combined company in December of 2014. As both the companies still run as two separate listed entities, we will discuss performance of both companies separately. And in this respect, we will first share with you Pfizer Limited's performance for the second quarter and take up questions associated with it. And then post completion of that, we will discuss the performance of Wyeth Limited and questions associated with it. I would request you to ask questions in relation to Pfizer Limited only in the first session and then Wyeth accordingly. I hope by now you have seen the published results and have had time to absorb it. And I have on the call with me Sridhar, our finance director, who you're all familiar with. And between us, we will cover both the results and the state of the market. So let me start off by talking about the India pharma market. The growth through MAT September 14 is at 10.9% as per IMS data. The industry growth has been the highest that it has been in the last 12 months, which is an encouraging trend, and performance on an April to September basis has actually shown an improved growth of 11.2. The industry size still sits at 84,904 crores as of MAT September 2014. I do want to touch a little bit on DPCO Para 19, as that has been in the press and, of course, has had an impact on the industry. The NPPA, on July 10th of this year, issued an order bringing cardiovascular and diabetes products under price control in a rather sudden move associated with paragraph 19. Mini press, 5 milligrams, and an additional pack of Amlogard for Pfizer were covered in this new price control order. As we've communicated with you in the last quarter, a robust advocacy was undertaken with various government departments and ministries, and also both the IPA and OPPI pursued a legal path challenging the order on the grounds of the fundamental authority of the NPPA to take such steps. The NPPA and the government has since then withdrawn the guidelines for price control order that was issued under Para 19 of the drug price control order, DPCO 2013. However, the July price modification that was issued prior to this withdrawal of internal guidelines has not been withdrawn. And obviously, we are concerned about that. OPPI and IPA are pursuing this petition, the petitions that they've filed in the courts, and we hope to get a clearer resolution of what the intent is with the withdrawal of this order. Associated with that, the NLEM 2011 is the process to revise it has begun. A committee has been formed, and the committee is in the process of meeting with various stakeholders, including the industry. A few meetings have taken place, and there are more to follow, with the end goal obviously being whether a conclusion on whether NLEM needs to be revised, or given that it was put together just in 2011, things have not changed. I do want to address, obviously, one of the issues associated with Pfizer Limited, which was our Thane plant. We had issued a lockout notice on August 1st of 2014 for the plant. This notice for the proposed lockout was necessitated on account of several acts result of which we believed it had become impossible for the management to continue with the operations of the plant in a peaceful and productive manner. The company had alternate manufacturing arrangements in place to ensure business continuity, and the availability of our products has not been impacted by this. Post-issue of the lockout notice, we did roll out a VRS for our employees, and consequent to that, a significant portion of employees have taken the VRS. The company has not enforced the lockout, and we are currently not operating the plant. We're still assessing our future course of action, and the companies who have not taken the VRS continue to be on the rolls of the company. I'm going to turn it over to Sridhar to take you over the numbers for the quarter. Sridhar?
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. I'll talk about the financial performance for the quarter. As you know, the same period last year, the quarter to last year, we continue to support transition support to our animal health company, Zoetis, and therefore the last year results has the element of animal health in it. And therefore, the current set of numbers are strictly not comparable. We discontinued the support effective quarter four last year. The current year, if I really look at a pure, though it looked like 1% growth quarter on quarter from 267 to 269, the pharmaceutical business is about 7% growth. That's pretty decent given the industry what we have. I'll talk about why we are happy with this performance a little later. And as you will note in my results, we had some higher expenses, including some one-offs that are hit us in this quarter that has impacted our profitability, apart from exceptional items. Profit from operations before other income is about 48 crores in quarter two versus 72 crores, which is lower predominantly because of the one-off expenses. The revenues, all key brands have registered good growth except Corex. Like I told you, in the last couple of quarters, Corex sees some regulatory issues in some of the states, and therefore our sales in those states have reduced significantly there. Now, if I look at the reason I told you I'm happy with the performance is, at a 7% growth, if I do without Corex, if I just remove Corex from the consideration, our quarter growth is about 13%, which is higher than the industry. And on a six-month basis, it's about 14%. So basically, Corex, which is actually driving our performance low for the current year. So if you keep that aside, I think on our core products, I think we are seeing a very strong double-digit growth. So a strategy of focusing on select key products, trade strategy, TA kind of a business model is actually working well for us. In terms of other operating income for the quarter, low by 5 crores. It's predominantly because last year we had some income from Zoetis for supporting them. It's no longer available to us this year, therefore our operating is lower. Material cost, it reflects about 38.7% of sales in the current quarter versus 38.1% the same period last year. On a like-to-like basis, it doesn't look much of a change, but here also animal health has an impact on it. If I remove animal health, the actual cost last year will come to 35.3. So therefore, the cost has actually gone up slightly. This is predominantly because, like Jazz said, the Para 19 order came in, which brought down the price of Miniplus and Amloga to some extent. As a result, my revenue is reduced, and as a percentage of sales, my consumption has gone up as a material cost. And of course, there's some product mix element because it's done much better, and that has brought in my product mix impact. In terms of the employee benefit, the staff cost is about 57 crores versus 49 crores, higher about 8 odd crores. The variation is due to the changes in actual valuation, some ex-gratia payments, etc., which resulted in higher staff costs for the quarter. And coming to other expenses, is about 85 crores versus 73 crores, same period, higher by 12 crores. We have had higher A&P expenses in the current quarter. We went on air with some Gelucil ad, so we got a higher spots. We hired a little higher promotion of Viagra. That's purely because of the facing. We had some one-off write-offs. We had some Thane plant-related expenses coming in there, and also the merger-related expenses which is coming. In addition, as you all know, we have agreed on a new office premises, which is moving in somewhere around March, April next year. We have taken possession of that premises. Though we have a rent-free period for some time, under the accounting guidelines, we need to straight-line the rental over the period of the contract, including the derivative position, and therefore this quarter is a charge on that regard. Therefore, it's additional cost for us which is coming in for the quarter. The current office we plan to hold on till about March, and as we migrate to the new office, the new fiscal, this office will be exited off. The other income is lower predominantly because of lower interest income, given the lower balance in bank post our payment of dividend. The exceptional expenses you see is predominantly because of expenses on account of VRS and the related expenses coming in there. This is one for the quarter out of 76 crores. Consequent to all this VRS and lower interest income and higher expenses, there is a loss for the quarter. Otherwise, there's no other key driver for it. Our top line is pretty healthy, strong. With this, I'm happy to take on any questions. Jas and I can answer any questions of Pfizer. And happy to do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. We have the first question from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, if you can elaborate more on the one-off cost apart from the VRS expenses that has been taken down below your, you know, PBT as extraordinary. I mean, just to give a flavor as to what would be the apple-to-apple comparison on the cost side and the profitability side as well.
So one-off cost, you could put roughly about 10 to 11 crores of the total 21 crores I've said there, predominantly coming out of some gratuity from ex-gratia payments, some Thane-related expenses, and some write-off which came.
So it's about 11 crores. Yeah. That should be the cost. It is more or less a part of the other expenses,
yeah,
if I'm correct.
That's right.
Yeah. And sir, can you also give us a flavor as to, I mean, you had mentioned the pharma growth of 7%. I mean, I also understand that there has been some kind of hikes which the industry has taken. So what would be typically the volume and pricing mix in the growth?
You are talking of Pfizer?
Yes, it's on Pfizer.
So the Pfizer, the price growth is around, I'll just give you, it's up around 4%. And the difference is volumes.
Sir, I mean, as a part of our global strategy, if I'm correct, we typically prefer to operate, you know, one manufacturing facility per country.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm looking at now, Pfizer and Wyeth kind of coming together, you have a manufacturing facility of Wyeth at Goa. So, I mean, would I be right in my assumption that at some point of time that we would typically, you know, kind of move away from this Thane facility and do all the operations from Wyeth? I'm not looking at it from a near-term perspective, but probably from a 2 to 3 to 4 year kind of a perspective.
We really haven't, Sudarshan, we really haven't made our final call on what we're going to do with Thane. We are still looking at our options. The good news for us certainly is that we have a very robust plant in Goa, a plant that has actually won multiple awards over multiple years. So we do have a very strong facility available over there, but we certainly haven't made our decision on Thane as yet.
And how big would be our Thane plant in terms of acreage, you know, if you can just give us some kind of this thing in terms of capacities?
It's about 70-odd acres completely, a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. And it's basically our own facility, right?
The land is leased from MIDC.
Okay, fine. Sure, that's from my side. I'll join back to you.
Thanks, Darshan.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vishal Shah from Allard Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, Vishal.
First question was on the 2 price control notification which took place in the quarter. What is the impact of both of them on an annualized basis?
So the impact of the price control on an annualized basis about 10 odd crores, okay, on the product, okay. For the quarter, it's not very significant because the 10 odd crores is fairly spread over there.
Okay. And subsequently, when there was a withdrawal order, mm-hmm. Does that mean it would be on a prospective basis, or is there any clarity on the same as of now?
So currently there is a internal guidelines and there is a price notification order.
Okay.
So what they've withdrawn is the internal guidelines with immediate effect. That's what the wording said. They have not withdrawn the price notification order.
So okay.
Current assessment is still that notification order is not withdrawn. The pricing still holds.
Okay, fine. The second question was on Corex. Now, you have mentioned that it has been seeing some pressure in certain regions. But except that, the other brands are performing well.
Yeah.
So, on a strategy perspective, what measures are you taking to mitigate the impact of the same on the overall financials?
Yeah, so, I mean, part of it certainly, as we spoke to you guys before, is that we are looking to launch, you know, a whole set of additional products that are part of our core portfolio, starting with Bicosols, right? So Bicosols performance was actually launched just a little while ago, and which is the first of a line of launches within that brand. So I think we're certainly looking at at part of our core portfolio, because those and Gelosil being a big part of it, to see if we can obviously use that heavy brand performance, heavy brand recognition that we have to create a portfolio of products around it.
Okay, and how has been the performance of Vecasol? Because last year it had declined and this year have we seen some improvement?
Yeah, so because it's has improved for this year, definitely it has improved. We do continue to have trade schemes continuing for that, but definitely it is better than what it was last year.
Okay, and you did mention that there was some rentals also as part of other expenses. Would it be possible to mention what's that amount, because which was additional versus last year?
Roughly about 3 crores. So we have paid about higher rentals because we currently have one office and we have signed up for the second office. So given the accounting standard guidelines, we straight lined the rent of the second office starting in mid of August. So that's about 3 crores for impact for the quarter.
Okay, so this would continue till the time you move on to the new office, and at that time the older office rent would go up.
That's right.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tushar.
Thank you. Participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Ranjit Kapadia from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. And sir, my question relates to the new product introduction. Are there any plans to introduce new products? And second question relates to the margin improvement. What are the steps we are taking to improve the margins from this level? Because this quarter, the margins have been, we have seen about 17%.
Sure, Ranjit. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Ranjit, in terms of the launch, I think I sort of mentioned just a little while ago, but just to reiterate, we have actually launched our Bicosols performance earlier, just a month or so ago, and we're actually seeing very good traction with that product, both in terms of not just one-time purchase, but also in terms of second-time prescriptions and second-time purchases. So that is off to a good start, and we're looking at a complete portfolio of extensions of that line, and we are also looking at extensions on some of our other large brands. Now, in terms of broader margin improvement, one of the things that we have been doing over a period of time is two parts, right? One is just within our portfolio. You knew we'd done a whole host on the branded generic side, which was not necessarily working out quite as well as planned, and we have reduced our focus on them, gone back to focusing on some of our larger products, which actually have a better margin. So that is one aspect of it. And then obviously on the longer term, Ranjit, as you even put it in your note, I think, was with the amalgamation of Pfizer and Wyeth, you're bringing in two very large portfolios together, which will certainly help with the broader margin improvement down the road.
And, sir, can you give the details of the new office? Where is location and what is the square feet area and whether it will be a single office or it will be multiple offices?
Yeah, so a big part of the effort was actually to move ourselves into a single office, right, consolidating both the Wyeth and the Pfizer side of it. It's actually at the BKC. It's at a building called the Capitol. And it's about 85,000 square feet.
So all your offices will be consolidated this place?
That's absolutely right.
Okay. Wish you all the best.
Thanks, Sanjit. Thank you, Ranjit.
Thanks, Sanjit.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashwini Desai from Bajaj Alliance. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Ashwini.
Yeah. Sir, I have a few questions. First is on Thane. How much was Thane contributing to your overall production when it was operational? I mean, before August?
So, we had actually scaled down the capacity in Thane over a period of time. So, our dependence on Thane was virtually not so much.
Okay, okay. So, were you already in a process of selling that plant or
setting up
another plant or something like that?
No. So, the products we manufactured were predominantly Corex and Vicosyls, okay?
Okay.
And Vicosyls being in price control, we had to actually look at various options to optimize the margins.
Mm-hmm.
And our Thane plant was fairly little cost expensive for us from that point of view. So given that, we already looked at, some other manufacturing facilities to optimize on cost. So hence, over the years, our dependence on the plant had reduced. It's not to sell off. It's just that we had some unfortunate incidences which led to a notice and the VRS after that.
Okay. So currently, you're 100% outsourced. Anything from Vyat are you sourcing?
We have a small dependent, very few products manufactured by Vyat Limited for us.
Okay.
It's basically it leverages the facility there, but predominantly the third-party sourcing.
Okay, okay. So then my second question is on July order. Few companies did implement and few companies did not. You seem to have implemented the orders. Why this kind of confusion? Why did some companies...
So there's a couple of ways of looking at it, Ashwini. One, there is a notification order which is applicable. So hence, it is applicable to people.
Mm-hmm.
However, as Jas told you in his opening remark, our association did go into the court and appeal against the order. There have been different kind of verdict and different courts, and hence maybe some of the companies have used that interpretation to not implement it. I can't comment as to why others have not implemented it.
Mm-hmm.
We just believe that there's a notification has not been withdrawn, and there's no specific guidance to not to implement that in this case out there. Okay, and also, the notification withdrawn is the internal guidelines and not the notification per se. Now,
mm-hmm.
It's only a court who can decide whether if the internal guidelines is withdrawn, is any notification consequent to that is also to be withdrawn, is something needs to be interpreted by law. We believe whatever is currently as the law, we need to follow it up. And then you can always fight with the court of law as a parallel justice. So.
Mm-hmm. So when is the next hearing?
The next hearing is slated somewhere around end of this month sometime. There are different dates floating around there. But we are still in discussion with the government to see whether they can withdraw the notifications too.
Okay. And so, just taking this a bit forward, when this order had come, it seemed that the NPP was targeting few segments, and then the order, from reading that, it seemed that a few more orders which will come pertaining to other therapeutic segments, but now internal guidelines have been withdrawn. So should we interpret it as a different kind of guidelines can come, but still there will be some pricing control on products outside NLEM, or the entire, there's a change of thought process, let us stick to NLEM and then think before coming out with order for price control order for other products?
Good question, fair question. Post the withdrawal notification which came out, a lot of press articles which came out, reacting about the notification, the government actually has come back and said that they have not completely taken away the right of NPPA not to enforce price control, okay? The notification was specifically in relation to the specific application of the Para 19 is what the notification has come out with. So it has not really taken away the any other... powers which NPPA had to enforce a notification. Okay, so therefore we feel that if NPPA in its genuine conscious sense, they find areas, obviously they can go ahead and issue price notification in the other action other than Para 19.
Mm-hmm. So some other order might come. Price controls might still remain on products outside NLEM also. On the
no. Whatever is brought in is under the whole concept of pricing. NLEM is only a schedule to the DPCO.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, within the DPCO, there are a couple of sections which gives him a right to look at. For example, if I do not follow the price control order, he can do that. Or if I take a higher price increase, he can still do all that. So, Paranitin is, NLEM is only one of the sections under DPCO.
And Ashwin, the way I would look at it also, right, is that the idea really should not be that you want to bring the entire industry under price control. Right, that sort of goes against the entire philosophy that the current government is talking about, right? When we're talking about India being open for business, when we're talking about, the market deciding how things should work, the whole price control model is a very old and archaic model at the end of the day to sort of how you run business. The idea behind making sure that essential products are under price control, I think, was established, and hence the NLEM list was established, expanded significantly, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the market, I mean, India is one of the most competitive market in the world, right? We have 37,000 brands that exist in this marketplace, right? We have 500 companies that are recognized by IMS, I think, in the marketplace, and another 3,000 that are there in addition to it. So this is a highly competitive marketplace at the end of the day. And I think, if you let the marketplace decide, I think you're going to have a reasonable area and a reasonable amount of competition available. I think exercising price control as your only mechanism, mm-hmm. right, to work on access is probably not the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but such kind of price control mechanism do exist elsewhere in other countries also.
Well, it depends on which countries you're talking about, right? In a lot of countries where the government decides price,
mm-hmm.
the government is also the buyer of the product,
mm.
right?
Mm.
So if I am going to buy 100% of a product, by definition, I would want to be able to negotiate price of the product, correct?
Mm. Mm.
And therefore, what is considered price control is in essence a negotiation. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is entirely different from saying, I'm going to establish a price control mechanism, but I'm not going to actually be a buyer of the product.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two very different models that might exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
If as a purchaser of a product, based on volume, based on requirements, I want to negotiate a particular price point, that's what every marketplace allows you to do, right? If you were in the market for something, as an individual buyer, you would have obviously less recourse, but as in a competitive market, you could go in and compete with people or have them compete for your business on price.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to buy the product, right? Which is very mm-hmm. different than the model that is being perpetuated here.
Okay. So I'm not fully aware of the Paranitin that you're speaking about. So the question here is, why are they controlling prices outside these 340 drugs, or the basis of the calculation of these prices? So what is the Raja issue here in the July order?
The issue, as the NPPA stated it, was that the market condition, right, which was the fact that these products, the same product, exist in multiple pricing, which has been available in the India marketplace for as far back as I'm aware of,
mm-hmm.
was suddenly a point of concern, and therefore they introduced these products.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as to why more they went into that, I'd ask them, because it certainly caught us by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this 10 crores, the number that you mentioned, it was pertaining to July order? Impact is there? Okay. So then last question, Corex, how much does it contribute to your overall sales?
Corex contribution to overall sales, give me just a second.
Yes.
So roughly about 15 to 17%.
And Bicosils would be
around 12 to 13%.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, if I'm correct, I think post the global merger of Pfizer and Wyeth, we had taken, steps in terms of, though it's not legally merged, operationally we had taken a lot of steps. For example, employees of Wyeth did, come into our division and to kind of market Wyeth's products. So, just taking from a previous caller where we mentioned that, there could be some kind of, further cost cutting or some kind of, margin benefits with Wyeth. Now, how do we see the additional margins coming through? If you can throw a bit more, light on that. Because what has been done and, where else can be cut?
Sure, Sudarshan. So when I said that there's a benefit out of the amalgamation of the two, it's not because there is a huge amount of synergy associated with the actual merger. It was more just in terms of the margins of the different products of the two companies coming together, right? So when you look at it on a consolidated basis, you may get a different overall margin number. But you're absolutely right, and we've said that in the past, that there was a lot of back-end integration, right, efforts that had actually taken place, and the merger was certainly not going to lead to a lot of cost-cutting at the end of the day.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Amit Hiremat from Batliwala and Karani Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, my question relates to the supply chain disruption we had last year. And so as of now, even in the last call, you mentioned that the situation is still not fully resolved. So where do we stand as of now?
So on our end, obviously our products are completely available at this stage, right? When we said earlier that the issue is not completely resolved is in the sense that there was no broad conclusion across the industry in terms of how products that had come under price control should be treated from a margin perspective at the retailer and distributor level, right? So I think there is still a differential running on a company-by-company basis. So that's basically what we meant. On our end, certainly, all our products are now being distributed and distributed appropriately.
Okay. And in the last call, I believe that it was mentioned that, so the Corex, when you say it is contributing around 15 to 70% is for this particular quarter itself?
Yes, full year two.
Okay, because in the last quarter it was, I believe, at around 20 to 23%. So,
So like we said, the sales have reduced.
Okay.
But
In this third quarter, considering the price hikes we had taken as well as we had probably a 1 month of no sales in certain states, should we see growth better than what we had experienced in the first half for the second half itself?
Ideally, yes, because we didn't sell for about a couple of months last year. So technically, from a growth perspective, it should look better, hopefully. I'm only hoping that Corex issue holds at least the current levels.
Sir, how much time will it take for this Corex issue to be resolved? What is the problem going on here?
No, it's a periodic thing. Once in a while, the government does come in little thing on regulation on codeine preparations and on quotas. So it's nothing unusual about it.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, right, the government has introduced the Schedule H1, right, which says that certain set of products need to be sold by prescription only. Mm. So we're certainly hopeful, right, with that having come into play, and as those the implementation of that gets applied appropriately, that the controls that are necessary, right, to make sure not just Corex, not just codeine products, but all products, right, that are under that H1, Schedule H1. The market will settle and figure out the new way of making sure that patients have access to the right medicine.
Mm-hmm. And sir, in last quarter, I believe Jelusil, Amlogard, and Magnus were also not growing up to the expectation. So in this quarter, the growth has been in line with what we had expecting, or it's still below expectation?
So Amlogard still is struggling because as a comparative growth, because the price is still lower versus the same period last year.
Right.
But we are selling Amlogard. It's not that we're not selling Amlogard, but the growth will not be there because the price is more than 50% lower.
Okay.
Genicillin is getting back, but still on a full year basis, we are still not there completely. But this quarter has been better than what we expected, but it will take probably a couple of more quarters for it to stabilize.
And Magnex?
Magnex is static. I mean, it holds on the standard early good single-digit growth. It's sort of, you know, a high double-digit growth kind of. It's a fairly expensive product, so we are happy with that kind of product.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, that was the last question. And with that, we conclude the Pfizer second quarter results conference call.